John's Gospel, chapter 14, and we're breaking into the chapter at the verse 15. And these words bring us to the eve of the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Savior here discusses his death, his departure from this world with his disciples. They are downcast, they are somewhat discouraged, disheartened, and the Lord comforts them. And certainly tonight, as we gather into God's house, we need the comfort that only the Lord Jesus Christ can give. John 14 and the words of verse 15. And the Savior says, "If ye love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him." Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, "Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us, and not unto the world?" Jesus answered and said unto him, "If a man love me, he will keep my words. My Father will love him, and we will come unto him, and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You have heard how I said unto you, I go away, and come again unto you. If ye loved me, ye would rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, ye might believe. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh, and hath nothing in me, but that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence." Amen. And we do know the Lord will add his own divine blessing upon the reading of his holy and precious word to each and every heart. Our text this evening is taken from the words of the Lord Jesus Christ in John 14, and the verses 16, 17, and then the verse 26. And here the Savior says, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you." Then verse 26, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you." One of the greatest needs of the human heart is the comfort that God alone can give. The sad reality, of course, is that men reject the comfort of God and seek the inferior and the insufficient comfort of the world. in order to face the trials of life and the tribulations of this world in a manner that honors God and glorifies the Savior, we need day by day the comfort, the strength, and the power of the Holy Spirit. Here in our text, our great and our loving Savior, seeing our great need, has entered into heaven where he now lives to make intercession for his people. And as Christ prays, he tells us here, he prays that we might know as a congregation, as a body of believers, that we might know and experience the comforting grace and the comforting power of God the Holy Spirit. If you look there at verse 16 of our text, the Savior says, "And I will pray." And of course, these words were directed initially to the disciples, but nonetheless, they are also applicable for you and I who are saved this evening. The Lord Jesus Christ is still praying. He ever liveth to make intercession for us. He has now ascended into heaven by and with his own blood, by the power and virtue of his own blood, now to appear in the presence of God for us. When other believers fail to pray for us, when the pastor, the minister, fails to pray for us or for his people, we take great encouragement and we rejoice in this truth that our great high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, has entered into glory, into the very presence of God, now to pray for his people. And certainly while the Lord prays for many things, he prays for the comfort of his children. "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you." Here Christ promises to his people a comfort that the world can never give, a comfort that the ungodly, the Christ rejecter, can never know nor experience. Here is a comfort that is uniquely Christian, a comfort that is our portion in this present world of trials, tears, and tribulation. And so this evening, for a short time, I want to look very simply with you at the Comforter of the Church of Jesus Christ. Now, in the first place, our attention is drawn to the person of the Comforter. Who is this person that every true believer knows? Well, as you read this passage, it becomes very clear that the Comforter is God himself. He is not the Lord Jesus Christ. He is another Comforter, but nonetheless, he is God himself, the third person of the Holy Trinity, God the Holy Spirit. For example, there we discover that this Comforter is omnipresent. He is the all-present Comforter of the Church of Jesus Christ. In verse 16, it is revealed that this Comforter will abide with God's people and abide with God's people forever, that he will abide with all of God's people forever, that he will never leave the church, that he will never abandon the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is with his people always and at all times. And my friend, that necessitates omnipresence. The Holy Spirit is the all-present God. Back there in the Psalm 139, the verses 7 and 8, we read these words, "Whither shall I go from thy Spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there." This is God. This is God the Holy Spirit. This is the blessed Comforter of the Church of Jesus Christ. This is the person, the another Comforter, as Christ referred to him, whom the Father has sent to comfort, to strengthen, and to fortify his church on earth. You think even of the English word comforter. And you have the idea of one who comes to fortify. And that is the work of the comforter. This is what the Holy Ghost does. He has come to fortify his people in the midst of our trials, in the midst of our tribulations. And here we learn, no matter what our situation is, no matter what circumstances we find ourselves in this evening, the Holy Ghost abides faithfully in and with all his people. He is present with us now. He is present with us always. As God, the triune God, has said to Joshua, so the triune God, including the Holy Spirit, says to the Lord's people today, as I was with Moses, so I am with thee. I will be with thee. I will never leave thee. I will never fail thee. I will never forsake thee. I wonder tonight, is that your experience? Is this the person you know? Whatever your situation is this evening, whatever you have passed through this past week, this past month, this past year, whatever tomorrow or the week ahead has in store, do you know this person? Can you face the future in the assurance of this exceeding great and precious promise of Jesus Christ that the Comforter abides in you forever? That is the promise of the Lord. That is the promise of Christ to his church on earth. We have the indwelling, the abiding presence of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter of the church of Jesus Christ. And he says to you, and he says to me, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. Is this the promise that you experience day by day in your walk with God? But as well as omniscience or omnipresence, we have his omniscience revealed here. He is the all-knowing comforter. If you look there at verse 26, this is demonstrated very clearly. The Holy Spirit is revealed as one who knows everything. He certainly knew everything that the Lord Jesus Christ had ever said, ever spoken to the disciples, whether in public or in secret. And here Christ promises that the Holy Spirit would bring to the minds of the apostles all that he had said unto them. Again, that indicates, that certainly implies that the Holy Spirit is all-knowing, that he is omniscient. If you turn in your Bible there to 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 10, we read this truth. We are taught here the doctrine of Paul concerning the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, the Comforter. For the Spirit searcheth all things. The Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. God's understanding is certainly infinite. God's knowledge is infinite. God knows all things. God is omniscient. But here we learn that the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, searches all things, even the deepest things of the mind and the knowledge of God. And thus we are taught that the Holy Spirit himself is omniscient. The Holy Spirit is all-knowing. The Holy Spirit is certainly God who knows everything about you, God who knows everything about me. And he certainly knows your heart. He who searches the deep things of God can certainly search the deepest recesses of your mind, of your heart, and of your soul. He knows the pressures that weigh heavily upon you. He knows the trials that you're facing day by day. He knows everything about you. He knows everything about me. I was reading this morning there in Exodus 3, verse 7, where God says, I know your sorrows. This is the Holy Ghost revealed to us in our text. He knows what you're going through at this present time. And furthermore, we discover that he is omnipotent, he's almighty. If you look there in this text of Scripture, it reveals that this Comforter is certainly able to support, he's able to fortify, he's able to strengthen and to sustain the Christian in all the struggles and all the circumstances of life. Remember, this promise was given initially to these disciples of the Lord, and they were going to face things that you and I have never faced in this world. Great as your trials have been, great as your problems may well be today, and nonetheless, I think we have to confess, these men went through experiences that you and I have never yet known in this world. But nonetheless, Christ said, and he promised, the Holy Ghost, the Comforter, will be sufficient for whatever the world, the flesh, or the devil can throw at you as a believer. And this Comforter is the same today. He is the Almighty God. He is the Omnipotent One. And he's able to support you. He's able to comfort you in every situation in life. 2 Corinthians 1, verses 3 and 4, we read of the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation. Now, only a divine person could promise successfully to sustain you and to strengthen you in all tribulations. It's good to have the church. It's good to have our brethren, our sisters in Christ, to comfort one another. We are here to care one for the other. That is certainly a very important ministry that every believer has. We are to weep with them that weep. We are to rejoice with them that do rejoice. But I must confess, even as a minister of Jesus Christ, there are times and there are circumstances, and I hardly know what to say to men and women. I hardly know how to comfort men and women apart from pointing them to the Lord Jesus Christ. But here we have a person who is able to sustain us, who is able to support us, who is able to strengthen us in every situation in life. Comes to mind some years ago, as an assistant in this congregation, visiting hospitals after a tragic bus accident, seeing children lying in hospital beds, not knowing whether they were going to recover or not. I remember walking into those wards as a young minister, not even ordained, hardly knowing what to say, knowing that parents needed comfort, the comfort that our text sets before us, the comfort that only God can give. And yet I found myself in that situation, needing that comfort myself. And it was almost as if physically the Lord was upholding us, as well as spiritually and emotionally and mentally. You see, this is the reality of what we are talking about tonight. This is not simply pie in the sky. There are times in your life, there will be times in your life, and you must experience the comfort that only the Holy Ghost can give you. A comfort that no other Christian can give you. A comfort that no Christian minister can give you. There will be times in your life when you must fall upon the mercy of God alone. There are husbands sitting here tonight, and you do not know what your wife perhaps is going through. Perhaps she has not yet confided in you what is burdening her heart or burdening her soul. There are wives here, and you don't fully understand what pressure your husband is under. There are children, there are parents here, and we cannot fully understand one another. But here is a person, here is a comforter who searches the deep things of God, who searches the deep things of your heart, of your mind, of your soul, of your home, of your life. He knows you, he understands you, and he is sufficient for your every need. As we sat in God's house this morning, another congregation, I don't know what the preacher was preaching on here in Ballymena, but our attention was drawn to the God of all grace who promises his people, saying, "My grace is sufficient for thee." And the person who brings the all-sufficient grace of God into your heart and into your home and into your life is this person, the Holy Spirit, the Comforter that Jesus Christ sets before us here as he's about to depart from this world. This is the person we need to know, and to know more fully, and to experience in a daily basis, living within us, dwelling in us, ministering to us, strengthening us, fortifying us, comforting us in this world of tears and tribulation. But having considered here the person, notice in the second place very quickly, the purpose of the Holy Spirit, the purpose of the Comforter. It really goes without saying, certainly the great purpose that is set before us here in our text is the comfort of God's people. The great ministry of the Holy Ghost, according to the words of Christ here, is to comfort the people of God. But what I want to emphasize to you this evening is this great truth, that this comfort is inseparably linked to the Word of God. The comfort that the Holy Ghost imparts to the believer is inseparably linked to the Scriptures of truth. If you look there at verse 26, the Savior said to the disciples, John 14, verse 26, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach." Now here's something that is not very popular today in professing Christian circles, teaching. But this is the ministry of the Comforter. And here is the method that the Holy Ghost employs to bring comfort to the hearts of God's people. And this is the way the Holy Ghost fortifies us and strengthens us that we might meet the future, that we might face the trials, the tribulations of this world. The Holy Spirit is the teacher. He comes to teach. The Savior says, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you." What is the ministry of the Holy Ghost? He is to comfort. How does he comfort? He comforts by teaching. And what does he teach? He teaches the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. The comfort that is promised in this text is inseparably linked to the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the Scriptures of truth. Of course, in the highest sense, or in the strictest sense, these words spoken to the apostles have to do with the divine, the inerrant, the infallible inspiration of the Scriptures of truth, the New Testament in particular. But it is certainly and equally true that the Holy Spirit comforts the church in every age by the very same means, through the inspired, inerrant, infallible Word of the Lord Jesus Christ. Indeed, all Scripture has been given for the comfort of Christ's church in this world. Genesis to Revelation, God inspired it for the comfort of the church. If you look there in Romans 15, verse 4, it declares, "For whatsoever things were written," here we have the Word of God inscripturated, the Word of God put into writing, or writing infallibly, without error, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God, moved holy men to speak. And this is inspiration, again, something that is really disputed today, despised today. But all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And here is one great purpose: for the comfort of the church of Jesus Christ. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. There again you have learning. The idea is doctrine, indoctrination. If we are to know the comfort of our text, if we are to know the comfort that the Holy Ghost gives, then we must be indoctrinated. The word of Jesus Christ must be impressed and driven into the heart and into the soul by God the Holy Spirit. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. I wonder, are you sitting here this evening overwhelmed with a sense of utter, total hopelessness? You would expect that to be true of the ungodly, sitting here without Christ, without hope in this world. But the sad reality is this: there are believers, and they're being overwhelmed by a sense of utter and total hopelessness. There are believers, I dare say, even in this gathering tonight. And you feel hopeless. You feel depressed. You are in great distress. You don't know where to turn. You don't know what to say. You don't know what to do. But how can that be? Jesus has just told us in this text, you know the Comforter, the Holy Ghost. We have read that He is the all-present. He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. No matter what you think, no matter how discouraged or defeated you may feel tonight, and no matter how hopeless you may feel this evening, the Holy Ghost is true to His word. I will never leave you. I will never fail you. I will never forsake you. Lo, Jesus said, I am with you always, but His bodily presence is not on earth. He abides by His Spirit in His people, in His church. And He does so unto the very end. He is sufficient for your every need. Why then this sense of utter hopelessness in the heart of the child of God? How do you reconcile that with the promises of Jesus Christ, with the infallible, inerrant, inspired Word of God? It is true, of course, some people have a physical difficulty or problem. Some people have a chemical imbalance in the mind that leads to depression, despair. Some, it must be said, do need medical help. We're not making light of that. We're not belittling that. But too often I fear the reason why God's people are plunged into despair and overwhelmed by a sense of utter and total hopelessness is their neglect of the written Word of God. For this is the means that the Holy Ghost uses to bring this promised comfort and strength to our hearts and to our souls and into our lives and into our homes. Are you reading your Bible? I'm sure if our sister Joyce has the joy, as we're praying, of leading little ones to Jesus Christ this week, she's going to tell them some very simple but sound, indeed profound advice. Read your Bible. Read your Bible and pray every day. There are Christians and they're seeking counsel and they don't know, it seems, what to do or where to turn. And they're wondering why or how did they ever come to be in their present situation. Well, have they been reading their Bibles and praying every day? Could that possibly be the answer? Could that possibly be the reason for your present distress and despair and defeat? This comfort is inseparably linked to the written Word of God. Ah, preacher, you say, I've been reading my Bible every day. My Bible is not sitting disused and dusty on the shelf. I read it every day. Well, do you believe it? And if you believe it, do you obey it? A disused Bible, disbelief in the Bible, or disobedience to the Bible, I tell you, it leads to despair, it leads to depression in the life of the child of God. Are you neglecting God's Word in some manner, in some form? The public preaching of God's Word. Again, you say, but Pastor, I never miss a service. I never miss a sermon. But could it be you're a hearer of the Word and not a doer of the Word? You see, this is how the Holy Ghost comforts His people in this world. It is by and through the Scriptures of truth. But while the great purpose of the Holy Spirit is to comfort us through the Scriptures more specifically, the Spirit comforts us by showing us Christ in all the Scriptures. This is the means the Holy Spirit uses to comfort you and I in this present world of suffering and tribulation. He shows us the beauties and the glories and the wonders of the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I tell you something, child of God, no matter what your situation is this evening, and again, I'm not belittling your trials, I'm not belittling your tribulation or making light of your tears. But man or woman, if you can only see the Christ of the Bible, the Christ of Scripture, no matter what your situation is, that Christ will strengthen you, that Christ will support you, that Christ will encourage you, that Christ will fill your heart with joy. We didn't take time to read it there, but this really is the ministry of the Holy Spirit. If you look there at John 15, verse 26, the Savior continues His doctrine, indoctrinating these men, these apostles, about the person and the work of the Comforter. And He says there in John 15, verse 26, "But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, He shall testify of Me." That is the ministry, that is the purpose of the Holy Ghost in this world. The Holy Ghost has come to testify to the person and to the work of Jesus Christ. Sinner, why are you now a believer? Why have you repented? Why have you turned in faith to Jesus Christ? Why are you sitting in this house tonight, saved, washed in the blood of the Lamb? It is because more than a mere sermon, more than the voice of a mere minister, one day in your life, a moment in your life, the Holy Ghost testified to you of the person and the work of Jesus Christ. He showed you Christ. And that is what we need as we think of the children's mission ahead of us, as we think of the adult meetings in the evening time, even after this service tonight, yea, even in this meeting tonight, if sinners are to be saved, the Holy Spirit must come and He must testify of Jesus Christ. Look on down there. Chapter 16, John 16, verse 14. And again, the Lord is pressing this glorious truth home. He's emphasizing it. He says, He, the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, He shall glorify me, for He shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. That is the work of the Spirit of God. That is the ministry of the Holy Ghost, not just in the pulpit, but as you kneel by your bedside in the morning, or as you sit at your dining room table in the evening, wherever you get your Bible open to meet with God, this is the ministry of the Holy Ghost. He comes to fortify you by showing you the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. He comes to lift up Christ. Christ crucified. I want to tell you, no matter what your situation is, that is the sight you need to see this evening. You need to see Christ kneeled on that middle tree in agony and blood, dying for your sins. I don't care if you're a saint or a sinner. That is the sight that you need to see, and that is the work, that is the purpose, that is the ministry of the Holy Ghost. There are ungodly sinners in this house. And I believe God has been dealing with you. The Holy Ghost has brought you under conviction of sin. You feel something of the burn, a sense of guilt and shame and disgrace. And this is the comfort that you need. You need the Holy Ghost to show you Christ bleeding and dying in agony and blood for your transgressions. Nothing else will comfort you. Nothing else will suffice. Nothing else will satisfy your soul. We're praying that God would, by His Spirit, turn your eyes upon Jesus, that you might look to Him as He invites you to look. Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. That's the comfort the sinner needs. But equally, that is the comfort that every child of God needs continually in their lives. We dare not lose sight of Christ crucified. I can come to you. Your minister can come to you. To some degree, He can comfort and console you. But let's be honest, there's many an apostate minister. He can come, put His arm around somebody, weep with somebody. But that'll not carry you through your crisis for the glory of God. What you need is a minister, certainly, filled with the Holy Ghost, who will point you to the Lamb of God, who will, through the written word, point you to Jesus Christ. Whatever your situation is this evening, no matter how downcast you are, I think of those two disciples on the road to Emmaus. And there they are, their hearts have sunk to their boots, and they're trudging along, and they are disheartened, they are discouraged, they are distressed, and they are depressed, and they're in despair, they're in utter and total defeat and hopelessness. All their hopes have been shattered. But what caused their hearts to burn within them? It was when Jesus Christ, by the power of the Holy Ghost, because everything Jesus did on earth for his people, he did by the power of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. He came by the incarnation. How? The Holy Ghost came upon the Virgin Mary miraculously. And Christ was conceived in her womb without sin. Some would say the greatest of all miracles, God became man. But he did so by the power of the Holy Ghost. How did Christ live a life of perfect, sinless obedience to God? He did so by the power of the Holy Ghost. How did Christ make atonement for our sins upon the cross? He offered up himself a sacrifice to God by the eternal Spirit. How did he rise from the dead? He did so by the power of the Spirit of God. And Christ comforts us today, but he does so by his Spirit. As his Spirit applies the word, the teaching, the doctrine of the Bible to our hearts, we need our eyes upon Jesus tonight. It's not going to take your trouble away. As that minister was saying this morning, Paul, he cried to God and he cried to God and he cried to God, take this thorn in the flesh away, this messenger of Satan to buffet me, take it away. God didn't take it away. Sickness may not go away. The heart problem will not disappear. Your loved one will not return to this world. Who is sufficient for these things? I'm not sufficient for these things. Your minister is not sufficient for these things. But here's a person. The God of all comfort, the Holy Ghost. His grace is sufficient, all sufficient. This grace of comforting, and he does it through his word. As Christ did by his Spirit to those disciples, he opened up the Scriptures, beginning at Genesis, beginning at Moses, right through the whole of the prophets. And what did Christ do? He showed them by his Spirit himself, his sufferings and his glory. A man, no matter what your circumstances, woman, no matter what your situation, that is what you need to see. You need the Holy Ghost to show you Christ, to show you the sufferings of Christ, the glory of Christ, to show you the person of Christ, the work of Christ, who Christ is, what Christ has done, what Christ is doing, what Christ will do in the future. That is the comfort of the church. It's not the minister putting his arm around you and saying it's going to be okay, all's going to be well. It's not well. It's not okay. And you need something more. You need God to come. You need the Holy Ghost to come and to fortify you. And he does it by showing you who Jesus Christ is. He shows you the incarnation. He shows you the sinless life of him who was holy, harmless, undefiled. He shows you his atoning death. He shows you his glorious resurrection, ascension, intercession, his coming again, his eternal reign. That is the comfort of the church. The blessed hope, what is it? It is that Christ, the great King, the Lamb in all his glory, is coming in power and glory to receive us unto himself, that where he is, there we may be also. That's the comfort of the church, that we have been chosen in Christ. before the foundation of the world. I know many cannot grasp that great theology. It is deep, it is hard to comprehend, but my, if you can only grasp it, what consolation, what comfort, what blessedness and assurance is in that truth. Chosen by grace in Jesus Christ before the foundation of the world. Yes, that's hard to understand, but what about our union with Jesus Christ? Man, that is equally difficult to comprehend, but it is the truth of the gospel. If you're saved, you're saved by the Holy Ghost uniting you to Jesus Christ, inseparably, irreversibly, eternally, unchangeably in Christ. And because you're in Christ, washed in His blood, clothed in His righteousness, you are accepted in the Beloved. That is the comfort of the church. That is the comfort of the believer. Whatever your sickness, whatever your trouble, whatever your trials, whatever your tears, that is a truth the world can never change. That is a fact the devil can never do away with. Your union to Jesus Christ. That you're dead with Christ, crucified with Christ, risen with Christ, yea, glorified with Christ. Your sins are pardoned. This is what we know. Whatever else you know and experience in this world, this is what the believer knows. The Holy Ghost has taught him this. Man, those truths seem too good to be true. Salvation to the uttermost. From the dunghill and filth and poverty of my sin, to be joined with Jesus Christ, to reign with Him throughout the endless ages of eternity, the beggar from the dunghill to sit upon the throne of glory. Man, it seems too good to be true. Only the Holy Ghost could comfort me with that truth. Only the Holy Ghost could bring me to truly believe that doctrine. This is what we know. We know it because of God's word. God has said it. And the Holy Ghost brings these glorious doctrines home to our hearts and home to our souls. In our sickness and in our sorrow, yea, and even in our sin as believers, with all our failure, with all our weakness, with all our defeat, the Holy Ghost comes with God's word, with God's truth. And He shows us what we are. And He shows us what we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is what we know. Because we know Him, the Comforter. Is that your experience? Is that how you live your life for God? Is this true of you? I tell you, it will be. If you're a man, a woman of this book, who meets with God and reads their Bible prayerfully, believing it, it every day. Let's bow together for prayer. In many ways, the service tonight has been more geared for the child of God. If you're not saved, here's comfort that you need. You need the Holy Ghost to speak to your heart, to open your sin-blinded eyes, and to show you Jesus Christ. Have you seen Him tonight? The one who's altogether lovely, have you seen Him? marred more than any man to bear away our sin. Will you look to him? With the eyes of faith, will you look to him? I cannot make you see him. But I pray the Holy Ghost will give you eyes for Jesus Christ, and that you'll look to him and know the comfort of God's salvation. We have a meeting after this, but the meetings are arranged for the benefit of sinners. If you're a sinner and needing help and counsel, we are here your servants for Jesus' sake. But I cannot comfort you. Only Christ can take away your sin. Only Christ can give you the peace of God, the joy of God's pardon, and God's salvation through his blood. Look to Christ today. Call upon his name and leave this meeting saved by the blood of the Lamb. Our gracious God and our Father in heaven, we thank thee for the Lord's house. We thank thee for God's word. We thank thee for this old book. Holy men of God were moved by thy Spirit. They wrote these words by inspiration, without error, for the comfort of thy people here tonight. In the volume of the book, it is written of Christ. Christ has said, "Search the Scriptures, for they are they which testify of me." Lord, help us to search this book day by day, prayerfully, with the help of the Holy Spirit, that we might see our Lord, that we might gaze upon him who loved us and gave himself for us. Whatever this week has in store, whatever this year has in store, whatever the future has in store for thy children, keep our eyes upon Jesus Christ in the Scriptures. And grant us the all-sufficient grace of God, the comfort that only God can give. Save sinners, we pray. Lord, go before us to Drumtara. The tracts have been given out, the invitations distributed. Lord, we can plant and we can sow, and so we should. But only God by his Spirit can give the increase. Lord, be pleased in thy mercy and for thy glory to save souls this night. Now part us in thy fear. With thy blessing abiding upon all who love the Lord Jesus Christ, in sincerity and in truth. For we ask all these things in Jesus' name and for Christ's sake. Amen.